bit to achieve out of this, you guys. It's kind of like a laid-back atmosphere. I'm going to tell you guys some more about what we'll be doing, but let me give you a little rundown about how things work real fast, okay? Let me see if I have it. I think I do. I'm not going to give you $3, don't worry. Here's the deal, you guys. Okay, so this is the way it's going to work, okay? Every single week, because just like you saw in that video, what good is it if you guys come here, you learn about love, and then you go home, and that's it? You never do anything, right? It's worthless. It's pointless. It's a big waste of your time and my time, right? And so we want to be love out in the community, which is really cool, and I want you guys to see how you've grown, you know? So every week, you're going to get a different one of these cards as you walk out the door, okay? Leaders will be handing them out as you leave today, and it's cool. On the back of it, it has something different, okay? So this is week one. True love is sacrificial. So this is what we'll be talking about this week. And on this card, it says this. It says, Jesus said that there is no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. Sacrifice something that is of value to you. Maybe your time or maybe your comfort level to serve somebody else. Maybe you could give away something of value to you. Now, that's just a suggestion. By no means do you have to do exactly what's on this card. The point is that you do something sacrificial this week, okay? And you show that true love is sacrificial love. And we're going to see in the Bible today that that's very true, that Jesus does talk about how sacrificial love is love. And there's something I want you guys to notice. Okay, on this card, as you walk out, you'll see it's got a little paper and pencil. What we want you to do is either send us an email on velocityabq@yahoo.com about what you did last week to show that you were sacrificial love, or write about it, and we're going to have a place for you to put your name on whatever it is you're doing. Like, write about your experience. It doesn't have to be like a term paper, right? You can just write whatever it was that you did. Like, hey, this is what I did this week to be sacrificial love. And then you can staple this little card on it, and then you can put it in a box that we're going to have here every single week that we have true love. And it's going to be really cool. You guys are going to have 12 opportunities every week one opportunity every week for 12 weeks to show what true love is all about. And at the end of it, whoever does the best job is going to get a video iPod with True Love Velocity engraved on the back. It's legit. I have it right now. It's beautiful. And that's not to like... That's just because we want you guys to be excited about doing these things. Because I think that if you guys, every week, you do these things on the card, at the end of it, you're going to be like, I don't even care about the iPod. I've had so much satisfaction being the way I should be, being someone who knows what true love is all about, and it gets to share true love with people in the world, that will just be a little bonus. So that's how it's going to work. It's going to be really fun. I want to encourage you guys to make sure when you get this to do it. It's not going to take forever. It's going to be something really, really fun that you're going to be able to do and be able to mark what you've been doing. That's kind of like why we did the 60 days of summer thing. Just so you guys can say every day that I did something, at least. No matter how small it is, at least you can say you did something. So since this is true love, and today our message is true love is sacrificial, I want to ask a couple of our leaders to come up here. We can start off with Richie. You want to start up, Rich? And what I want to do, you guys, pretty much every single week that we're going to have True Love, which is almost every week except for the last week of the last Wednesday of the month because we do Q&A. But I just want to be able to share stories with you. So if true love is sacrificial, and in the Bible Jesus says that it's sacrificial. Hold on, I'll get to you in a sec. Then. We want to see what the experiences people have had with sacrificial love. So I'm going to have a couple of your leaders share with you guys a story about how they've received sacrificial love or how they've given sacrificial love.
All right, guys. I guess the first time, I'll share a couple things with you. The first time I really understood what sacrificial love was, what truly sacrificial love was when I gave my life to Christ. And a long time ago, and it was the first time I really knew why Christ died for me, why he really wanted to die for all of us. And I realized for me, he died because he loved me. And he sacrificed himself. He gave his life up for me. So that's when I really truly knew what it meant. And as just the years went on, I thought about that, and as I got older, you know, just interest in girls and whatever, and I knew that moment when God did pick that special someone for me, it would be that true sacrificial love, when I knew that I would do anything for that person, that I would ultimately give my life up for that person, that I knew that was true sacrificial love. And it came the day when I met Jessica, and that day that I leading up to being married, I knew from day one that I loved her, and that she stayed up when I broke my back, actually, and I stayed up all night. She stayed up all night with me till 3 a.m. From what time was it? It was like 7 o'clock here at night, all the way till 3 a.m. in the morning, and she had to go to Starbucks at 5 a.m. She stayed with me in the hospital, and I knew at that moment, I was like, this girl's the one. This is the one God picked for me, and I knew I would do anything for her. I would sacrifice my life for her. That's what sacrificial love is about. Loving my wife like Christ loved us, like he loved the church, by giving our life up for us. So.
Cool. Give it up. That was great. Hey, by the way, now I don't even know what to call you. Okay, so let me tell you a quick story. I just did Richard and Jessica's wedding, and everybody calls Richard Anthony in his family. We're the only ones who call him Richard. So now every time I see him, I'm like, hey, Rich Anthony, I don't even know what to call you anymore. But anyways, they just got married, you guys, so you should give a round of applause for that. That's awesome. Andrew, you want to come up? Now, at the end of all the True Love series, you guys, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask questions about anything, so that'll be good.
All right. So, guys, same as Richie. When you truly come to know the Lord, you and understand how Christ ultimately died for us and had the most selfless love out of anybody, that's when you can even start to even hit the tip on the iceberg of what love actually is, guys. And this love that we're talking about, I remember in my life, just a couple years ago, when my family was kind of torn apart, my father actually wasn't living at home. He was actually gone. He was living with another relative. And my dad was involved in a very sinful lifestyle. And we'd have very long nights going to look to see where he was and seeing that he was at some bar just in the middle of the night and involved in so many things that I'm not going to go into detail about, though. But several nights in particular, one night I can remember, my dad was supposed to be at the house he was living at, but he wasn't there. We'd frequently just go drive by there to check to see how he was doing. And so we went to cruise on town. And of course, we found him at a particular place, a particular bar, I guess. And it's the kind of feeling you have there, it's really hard to explain, and especially the feeling for my mother. And my parents had a few friends from when they used to go to church when they were a little bit younger, and there was a particular guy named Tom, and he was really good friends with my dad years and years and years ago, like 12 years ago. And he hadn't seen my dad in years and years, and he was like my dad's like accountability kind of friend when he was going to that church. And my mom had just called and talked to him, and she had been keeping in touch with him for the past couple days. And I remember that night, it was probably 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. He drove down, that guy, in the middle of the night. We woke him up from his sleep, and he drove down that night. And we were standing by my dad's car, and he got a note. He put it on my dad's car, and then he told us to go home. And we were already really, really tired. We had been out the entire night. And he stayed that entire night up until like 5 in the morning or something when my dad ended up coming out to his car. And he comes out and finds this guy in his PJs sitting on top of my dad's car waiting for him to approach him. Of course, my dad is just shocked. And this kind of love that he showed and this kind of commitment it's really hard for me to explain that he can go and not really know us. We hadn't been talking to him. We didn't have this kind of deep relationship that we had, you know, years ago that my parents had with him. But he still had that kind of love and that kind of compassion that God had given him to come out there. And he stayed out there for hours and hours at this crazy time of night just to show my dad that he was there and he loved him and he loved our family and just going out there. And that was really when, you know, when you could sacrifice not only your time but that love just.
Nice. That's great. How cool. How cool that he didn't even really know that family very well, but he sacrificed his time and his sleep. And you know, of course, he was in his PJs on top of a car. That he must have sacrificed his embarrassment as well. Just kidding. Who's next? Sarah? Lloyd? London? Anybody? London? Give it up for Sarah London, everybody. Sir, what'd you do to your wrist?
So when I became a Christian, I never thought that I would have to actually sacrifice anything for God. I kind of thought it was the other way around, that he was always going to sacrifice for me. But when I joined Velocity, it kind of became evident to me that I was going to have to start my end of sacrificing. And I got involved with the South Dakota mission trip, and everything was perfect. Everything was lined up. We were getting ready to go. And the week before we were ready to leave, my boss at work told me that I was not allowed to have the time off, and if I wanted to go, I no longer had a job. So it was a hard decision for me, but it wasn't, because I knew that that God was backing me. And so I quit my job, and I went on the trip with everyone, and it was just, it was amazing to see what God did, like, through the trip and through all the kids and just everything that happened. Like, it would have been horrible to have missed that, just because I was afraid of, like, sacrificing for God. So don't ever be afraid to make that next step in sacrificing for God.
Wow. That's an amazing story, you guys. You quit her job. But by the way, I'd like you to, like to tell you that the best part about that story is that on the way back, the last day that we were coming home, right, Sarah? We were driving home. We were pretty close to Albuquerque, and she got a phone call, and she got a new job. So how faithful is the Lord, right? You get whatever you give up. You guys, whatever you think you're sacrificing, God will always pay you back like 17 million times more than you could ever do, because that's the God who he is. So who's next? Morgan? Sarah Lloyd?
I just want to go.
Apparently. Sarah Lloyd jumped out of her seat. She's first. It's quickest draw here.
Okay. Woo. So last October, my nephew was kidnapped. And my brother, he's an atheist, and he's like a really crazy one, too. He was just like freaking out, I guess. And my family, my mom and I are the only Christians in our house, and there's like seven people that live in my house. So we all decided, well, my mom and I guess, we decided that the best thing to do is just have my brother come and live with us while he was, you know, dealing with the pain that he was feeling. And for like 8 months, my brother was living at our house. And my brother, he's the most, how do I explain it? He's like the most discouraging, ruthless, bitter man I've ever met in my life. And like the whole time, like for 7 months straight, every day I'd come home and he'd, you know, make fun of me that I love God, and he'd like yell at me and hurt me and like tell me all that I was stupid. But it was like, I don't know, the whole time I was just there and I was just loving him anyway. Like, you know what, you may hurt me and I may cry to my friends later, but I'm not going to show you that you're hurting me, because I love you, because you're my brother and God loves you. And it was just a really long 7 months, but it was so worth it to see how God just like, he gave me the strength to deal with that. You know, he gave me the strength to handle my brother's, you know, craziness. And I'm just learning more and more about how the world is exactly like my brother and how everybody I encounter is bitter in some way. And I just need to show them love, because it softens their hearts. And I think the good side of that was after the 7 months, we found my nephew and he came back home, and my brother was over, I don't know, he just like had so much joy, and like he was just so thankful, kind of, that we all were just there for him. And it's like God repaid us for that. Like, he repaid my mom and I by giving us our nephew back, which is, well, my nephew, her grandson. But it's just like so cool that God just, you know, he brought back a life to us, and it was just, it was a blessing, and it was a really big growing experience. So yeah,
thank you, Sarah. That's so cool. I love it, because they're all so different, but they're all so faithful. Ethan, you want to go?
All right, guys. Mine, some of you guys on the South Dakota I might have touched on this a little bit, but I'll get into detail more. I love skateboarding. Like, it is a huge part of my life. And, what's it called? I do a lot for skating. I help out Caleb. I help out the local scene. I help out a bunch of people, you know? And, you know, I subscribe to two different skating mags. I'm always on the internet looking at new videos, always, AJ knows. And one day, I got a new board, and like I said, I was talking with one of the local guys, and then that day I got one of my new magazines in the mail. And so I picked it right up, read like all the interviews, read every last page of that magazine, and I realized that I didn't even think of God that day. And I was like, I didn't even read my Bible today. I just read this whole magazine and didn't even think about God, you know? And, you know, I felt really bad. So I was like, I'm going to give up skating for a week. I'm not going to skateboard. I'm not going to do anything with skateboarding. I'm not going to check the internet. I'm not going to do this or that. And to be honest, in that whole time, I didn't focus my full attention on God. And, you know, I sacrificed this time for God, and I didn't even give it to him. And so the week later, I got back on my board, and I was like, yeah, all right, I'm ready to go. And I took a nasty fall, and I was off my board for 2 days. And I just felt that God was just like, dude, you wanted to give up skateboarding for me, and you didn't even do it. And so these next 2 or 3 days, I can't remember how long it was, you know, I just gave my full attention to God. So it was awesome.
That's cool, man. And by the way, Ethan really does love to skate. In South Dakota, it would be like 2 in the morning, and he'd be like, hey, bro. I'd be like, oh, yeah, dude. I'd like falling asleep at the table. Well, what's up, man? Hey, dude, can I get your computer? Why? Oh, there's a new skate video I want to see, bro. Like 3 in the morning, and he's all, oh, did you see that trick? It was pretty funny. Morgan, you got something, Morgan? She's all sure, I guess so. Give it up to Morgan, you guys. It's not easy, you guys, being up here. It's bright. There's a lot of people looking at you.
Thanks. That makes me feel better. Okay. Well, I guess one really, really amazing example of sacrificial love in my life was the year I was transitioning from velocity to vertical. That summer, I kind of had a sort of tragic thing happen in my life, and I walked away from my faith. I blamed God for it. And the whole time I kept coming to church and being around all these people and putting on a front, but I didn't believe anything that was being taught or like what I was saying to other people. I didn't believe it. And I get really nervous on stage. There were a number of leaders in both Velocity and Vertical who knew what had happened, and they constantly were praying for me and sacrificing all of their time just to call and see how I was doing or take time out of their work day to, you know, meet me for coffee and just visit with me and support me while I was trying to sort out what was going on in my life. And when I look back at it, I think of how much time and effort they put in to see me through. And it was just this amazing experience to know that God had all those people supporting me because he loves me ultimately. And so, yeah, that was it.
And I hope you guys know too, just like Morgan said, like she realized that all of her Velocity and Vertical leaders loved her. It's the same here, you guys. We're here for you. And regardless of how you feel at this moment and how your relationship is with God, we're not going to judge you or anything like that. All right, Ariel. Give it up for Ariel, guys.
Hey, guys. Throughout my life, I've had great examples of sacrificial love demonstrated to me by my parents. And this past year, I had a chance to show it back to my mom specifically. In September, I planned out at least my next year of my life, and had a job set up for me in Tennessee, was looking at places to live there. My brother and sister-in-law had just moved to Tennessee as well, so I thought, well, this is a perfect time to kind of move on with my life. That was September. October came, and it was time for me to accept the job offer. And probably about 2 weeks before, I found out that my mom was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. And she had no idea. She had gone in for checkups and everything. just a few months before that, and so it just kind of hit all of our family pretty hard that here was my mom that 3 months prior was completely healthy, and now she was almost on her deathbed, you know, kind of, and it was a long 8 months of just going through chemo treatments with her and surgeries and radiations and things like that. But I decided not to move to Tennessee and instead show that love that my mom showed me when I was sick, and just to stay home and take care of her, to put my life on hold, to take weeks off of work, lose a paycheck here and there just to sit home with my mom while she was unable to move in her bed, unable to lift her own head. I had to help feed her at times. I had to help her walk around the house. And it was just, the Lord reminded me, she had done this for me when I was a child, and she sacrificed her world to raise me and to take care of me. And what an honor was it for me to stand by my mom in this time where she was so sick and wasn't sure what her life was going to turn into, if this disease would take her life or not. I was able to sit there next to her in her bed and hold her as she cried, and to help her just heal emotionally but also physically as well. And so I just encourage you guys as well to sacrifice your favorite thing, like Ethan was saying, maybe skating or something like that, and show such an extreme amount of love to someone else.
That was awesome. Mia or Jess, you guys good? Okay, it's all good. You guys are good. All right, open up your Bibles, you guys, to John chapter 15. You guys should all have a Bible. If you need one, raise your hand. Richie can get you guys one. You guys look, one over there, two over here, Tristan. Real quick. Open up to John 15, you guys. I really enjoyed those stories, you guys. It's so important to see that, you know, we're all humans, you guys. We all go through these things. We all have things going on, so... While you guys get to John 15, we'll be in verse 13. I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, love, true love is sacrificial, Lord. And boy, did you show that to us, Lord. And I pray that, Father, we would all look at the things in our lives and see what is of most great value to you, not to us, Lord. We value things at times, and we value the wrong things. Lord, I pray that we would start to see what we can live without and what we can't live without, Father, that you are what we can't live without, but there is much that we can live without, Father, with you. And so I pray, Heavenly Father, that you, over this next 12 weeks that we have, Lord, however long it takes us, Lord, that you would teach us something about a love. God, that you would show us just a glimpse about how we can love people better, how we can love enemies, how we can love friends, how we can love family members, how we can just share love with everybody. That is the greatest, Father. You have said that of these, the faith, hope, and love, the greatest is love. And so, Father, we just pray that. And we know that your word says that love believes all things. And so we believe that you can change us from selfish people to sacrificial people. I pray that you would just bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it was once said that love is like a smile. Neither has any value until you give it away. I think that's really cool, right? It's a great little quote. I did a little research. 1.68 billion, okay, 1.68 billion hits on Google for the word love. Now, maybe you're thinking, is that a lot? Well, let me compare it to this. 922 million on money. 522 million on God. I would say that love, if not the, it's one of the most sought after things anywhere, let alone just on the internet. Google, that's huge, you guys. 1.68 billion? That's insane. Now, you guys know that love has inspired everything from music to movies to poems to paintings. Love is everywhere. And whatever band that you like, they have a love song, right? It's the way it is. I don't care what band you like, how hardcore metal or whatever it is, they have a love song, right? They have a song about somebody that they were in love with. It's a huge topic. I don't care if it's Taylor Swift or Family Force 5 or Jonas Brothers or whoever is your favorite person, they had plenty of love songs. Those three little words sure can inspire a lot. They can mean so much when somebody says, I love you, right? I don't know if you guys have ever had a time in your life when you're just going through something, or maybe you're not even going through something. Maybe you just have somebody in your family that likes to tell you that they love you, and it's just, it's always nice to hear. No one's ever bummed out that you hear I love you, right? No one's ever like, hey, by the way, I love you. Oh, don't tell me that. Like, right? Everyone's always like, it feels nice. You know what I mean? It feels nice for someone to love you. It feels nice when somebody calls you and ends it saying, I love you. And I want to encourage you guys to always be that person who ends all your conversations and all your things with everybody that you love saying, I love you. It feels good to know that you're loved. Well, Catherine of Siena said that a soul cannot live without love. It must have something to love, for it was created in love. I loved hearing all of those stories about sacrificial love from all of your leaders, right? Because here's the deal. Love is the most powerful thing that you could ever do to anybody. Now, maybe you guys are thinking, well, hatred, death, jealousy, envy, those are pretty strong emotions, and I guess they are strong emotions to some degree, but nothing, not even death, is stronger than love. The greatest thing you can ever do is love somebody. The strongest thing, the most impactful thing you'll ever do is to love somebody, right? This is the whole point of the series that we're in today, is how to love better, right? And I hope that as we, over these next 12 weeks, learn how to love better, that you'll start to see some things change, okay? Because that's how it goes. If you guys want to see somebody change in your family, you want to see a relationship get better, you want to see somebody live for God, you want to see whatever it is, you want to do better in school, you want to do better with your family, whatever you want to do, it can be accomplished in love. And so I want you guys to do that. It can change a lot. You know, every couple of months, I get the Calvary emergency phone, which means anything that happens with any of our people here throughout those 2 weeks that I have the phone, or 1 week, excuse me, but I get it every couple of months, goes to that phone. So if somebody goes to the hospital and they want someone to come by, they'll call that phone and I'll go visit them. Or if somebody needs some prayer and wants to talk on the phone, I'll talk to them on the phone. No matter what time of day is it, whether it's 3 a.m, we always have that phone on in case somebody really needs to talk about something. But I'll tell you what the greatest thing, it's not that I give them a ton of advice, right, when I get this phone. It's not when I go visit people that, you know, that I have some great words for them. It's just that I've taken time out of my day, right? I've sacrificed a little time out of my day to go visit them, to listen to them, to see how they're feeling, to love them, and that's it. It's really simple. Richard and I went and did a hospital visit the other day, and this guy has cancer, right? Not good cancer either, right? Not that any is better good, but there is some that you have a better chance with, right? And we just went in there, and we said hi to him and just said, how you doing, sir? And, hey, we were thinking about you. We wanted to come out here and just say hi to you, shake your hand, and see if we could do anything for you. And he was one happy guy at the end of it all. He was just, and I didn't say anything. I wasn't like, I didn't, you know, give him a cure for cancer. I didn't give him $1 million. I just gave him some love and took some time out to listen to him. And it really brightened his day. You see, loving people can change everything. You know, in this next 12 weeks, we're going to see 12 different sides of love and true love. And we're going to see it from this book, right? We're going to see it from the Bible, as Lecrae calls it, right? The 66-book love letter. Because that's what it is, right? This is 66 books of God's love for you and what he's done for you. And we're going to look at this book, you guys. We're not going to ask the great poets of our day. We're not going to see what all the popular media has to say about love. We're going to see what God says about love. Because here's the thing you need to know. God didn't invent love. God is love. He is love. He didn't. It's not like when you and I got created that God created love too. No, long before you or I were ever existed, God in the Trinity loved each other, and love existed. That is just God. If love, for Love has always existed, because if God is love and God is eternal, then love is eternal, and it's always been like that. Love has no beginning. You know, that's why I just did Richard and Jess's wedding, and that's why we say the ring, the symbolization of the ring, is that it has no beginning and it has no end, like love. And that's not just some cheesy line, right, that you say that's like, you know, ooh, it has no beginning or end, like your love. It doesn't mean, it means like, dude, like, billion, trillion, gazillion, quadrillion, you name them, years ago, God existed and he was love. And so that's just amazing to think about, right? And so I want you guys to have fun this next couple of weeks. The teaching is going to be different. I want you guys to pay attention, because whatever we're teaching on, God willing, if we have time at the end of everything, I want to answer your questions on what sacrificial love is today. And as we keep going and we keep going, and it's going to be really cool. So tonight's topic is that, though. Love is sacrificial, meaning true love must cost something, right? That to love somebody without anything happening, without any change, without anything, is not true love. It's not true love at all. The world may call it love, but it's not true love. It's not what the Bible calls love. And these teachings are going to be a lot less formal, you guys, than on the weekends, okay? On the weekends, you know, it's kind of like we're down to business. We got a schedule. We got to, like, keep by it. We got the pulpit, you know, I'm banging my hand or something on it or something, getting angry or something, you know, but this is not going to be like that, okay? All right? I want you, we're not going to have, like, a lot of points and things for you guys to follow. This is more just a casual thing for us to hang out and have a good time on Wednesdays, okay? So let's read our first thing. Since we're going to learn about sacrificial love, let's see what the Bible has to say about it. It's going to be, actually, I'm going to read John, I'm going to read 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life, or to lay down one's life for his friends. Okay? Let me give you a little background here, okay? Right here where we're at in John 15, this is like some of Jesus' last words. This is like Jesus' last teaching, okay? And he's about to, the reason why he tells them this, that, hey, there's no greater love than to give up your own life for somebody. And the reason why he's saying this is because he's just hours away from his own death on the cross, which is crazy. And so he writes this down to show them, right? He tells them this, the disciples, what he's about to do, how amazing it's going to be. And then, of course, John writes it down for us so that we can know that there's nothing greater than what Christ has done for us. So why is sacrificial love the greatest love? Because that's what it said. It says there's no greater love. Well, you guys have all experience love, but you know it's a lot different when you find out where it's come from and how it is, right? Let me give you an example. I love my mom. She's so amazing, and I always knew that she loved me, but the deal is that when I was younger, we didn't have a ton of money, and my mom was a single mom and raising three kids, and so the thing about it is that it was always very important to her that we went to a particular school. She wanted us to get a good education. She just knew that this was what was best for us, to be around these kind of people and to be in a place where we could talk about God and do things like that. And that was really cool, and it was really important. But, of course, as you know, a single mom doesn't necessarily make a ton of money, and raising three kids and paying for a private school is very expensive thing to do, right? So I always knew my mom loved us, but when I realized what my mom was doing, it meant so much more, because my mom would go to work in the day, and then a couple days out of the week, she'd go to a local Italian restaurant and wait tables. I was like blown away, because I was like, here she is, exhausted, raising three children, but not so tired that she won't go wait tables at an Italian restaurant to make a couple extra bucks so that we can stay in our school. And it was tough, and it was tight at a lot of times, right? There was times and we didn't know if we were going to make it, but my mom kept on chugging along, right? Sacrificially giving up her time and her her sleep and everything, right, to go through it. And it's amazing. And that's the greatest thing. I mean, maybe you know what you'll notice someday is when you first get a job, right? When you first guys get a job, I don't know if some of you have been working this summer, you'll never appreciate your mom or your family more than when you get a job. Because like for so many years of your life, you're just like, I need some shoes. And like eventually you'll get some. I need some clothes. Eventually you'll get some. Like it works out. But when you get a job, you're like, dude, it took me so long to make that money, and it's gone in like 6 seconds, right? I remember that, like, the first purchase I ever made that was bigger was an iPod. And I was like, my mom's like, I can't get that for you. And I was like, all right. So I had a job, and I saved up for it. And, you know, back then they were wicked expensive for, like, the big ones, you know, like the brick-sized ones that they have these days. And it was like $350, $400 for, like, a 16-gig iPod. And I was just like, and I bought it, and I was just like, this is amazing, right? But if my mom just gave it to me, I would have been like, it's kind of thick. It's all right, right? But because I knew all the effort that had gone into it, I appreciated it a lot more, right? And so that's the thing with Jesus. Notice Jesus just didn't show up on earth and he's like, I love you guys. No, seriously, I love you. And like, that's all he did. I love you. Just kept telling you, I love you. Okay, that is important to do that. But Jesus wanted to demonstrate his love. Jesus wanted to show you so that you would know how much more it means. So you're not just sitting there like, yeah, I know you love me. You're like, I know you love me. I've seen the cross, right? I know what the cross entitled. I know what that meant. So we don't just say, yeah, God loves me, right? And he just chills out in heaven all day. No, we say, no, God loves me so much that he came down from heaven. And when he became a man, he took on the most gruesome of all deaths to pay back the sin that we did. So it's very clear. Now you can really see, just like my mom, I could see her labor. Same with the Lord. We can see his labor. We can see what the cross was like, right? It's amazing to think about that. Someone once said, don't look to the dictionary for a definition on love. Look to the cross. I thought that was epic, right? Because what's the dictionary going to say? Oh, a warm, fuzzy feeling when you're around that certain special someone? No, it should have a picture of Jesus on the cross under love in the dictionary, right? And not like the way they portray it of like, you know, where it looks like anything barely happened to him, but the way it really was, that he was literally just a wide open, blister, sore, bleeding man, right? That's the way they should portray it. You see, when love costs something, it means a lot more. When love is sacrificial. I read a crazy story. I think I mentioned this once, but a story about an earthquake in China that happened not too long ago. I'm not exactly sure when it was, but it was within the last 10 years. And as the people were looking through the wreckage, they noticed in a house a lady who was kind of like had her arms up, but she was kind of on her knees, kind of like bent over. And she was clearly dead. They said a piece of her house had fallen and crushed her skull in the back. And they just thought it was weird because of the way she was standing. It looked weird. It almost, you know, it looked like she wasn't taking cover. And so they moved on to the next house, trying to see if anybody else was alive in the wreckage. And this one guy who was there said he couldn't get that picture out of his head. He just kept thinking about that woman. And so he went in there, and sure enough, they went in there and they looked at the lady. And underneath the lady, as she was kind of like caved over, was a baby wrapped up in a blanket, sleeping, completely fine. Nothing wrong with the baby at all. Amazing. So they took the baby, they brought it to the hospital, and as on the way, as they unwrapped the baby in the clothes, there was a cell phone in there. This is a true story, by the way. I mean, it sounds too crazy to me, but it is. I encourage you guys to look it up. Inside was a cell phone with a text message open up on the screen that says, let me read it to you. Says these words, if you survive, you must remember that I love you. Wow, how passionate. A mother who died for her son or daughter, they didn't say if it was a boy or girl, and left that note, I did this because I love you. How amazing. I mean, if that mom was around for 80 years and told her daughter every day, I love you, I love you, I love you, I'm sure that daughter would have known that she loved her. But because she demonstrated it sacrificially, how much more, even though that girl's mom isn't there anymore, how much more does she know that true love is sacrificial, that her mom really, really did love her? That's amazing, right? If you survive, I love you. Because here's the deal, talk is cheap, right? That's why God just didn't talk the talk, right? He just didn't say, hey, I love you, do these things. He came here and did them and then died for us. It means so much more. I hope you guys never doubt God, okay? Because if you ever doubt that God loves you, well, then guess what? Someday you'll get to see the very hands, the very holes that they put nails into, right? I mean, after Jesus resurrected, when Thomas was like, I won't believe him until I see the hands in the holes in his hands, right? Jesus says, go for it. And I think that the reason why Christ does that, he's in a resurrected body, by the way. He's in a perfect body, okay? But I think the reason why when we see Jesus, it'll be like Thomas saw him, still with holes in his hands and his feet, is so that you'll remember that he just didn't say he loved you, but he demonstrated that kind of love for you. That he was willing to give up his own comfort, right? And everything to come down here and die for us. Isn't it a shame how the world treats Jesus Christ, right? Here he comes down here to die in such a way just to demonstrate his love for us, right? And so many people, the things they say about him, it's horrible. You know, right? They treat Jesus like the party killer, right? Like this religious guy who just came down and gave a bunch of rules to everybody and said, do these things. They so quickly forget about the sacrificial part when he died for the sins of the world. You see, that's why Jesus came down here, not to establish Christianity, but to die and sacrificially show his love for us. That's why he came down, not to start a religion. Right? But all I can think about is this when I thought about this. I wonder how some of you treat Jesus. Right? You know, maybe you don't realize what it is he's actually done for you. You're just like, oh yeah, big deal. So he died on the cross, big deal. But you don't realize what that entitled and what he sacrificed to do that. Right? And if maybe you treat God with respect, but maybe I'll ask you this question. What about how you treat your parents? Because, you know, your parents, I'm not saying your parents are perfect, okay? By no means, okay? I'm never going to say that. But what I am saying is I bet they've given up a lot of stuff for you to do things that you do. You all look, none of you in here look like, you know, you're wearing like a potato sack for a shirt or something like that, right? Like your pants are made out of paper or something like that. And they're like, dude, we got to get you some pants, dude. You look bad, you know, or your hair is, you're like, I haven't taken a shower in like 16 years because we have no water, right? You guys all look pretty good, which means all your families obviously work. Somebody works in your family. Somebody puts food on the table. Somebody does those things. And that's, guess what? Maybe your parents don't do the greatest job of saying, hey, I love you. But maybe they're demonstrating it in a way by putting food on the table every day, letting you come here, driving you to church, driving you to all those things that you like to do, right? So look for the signs, you guys. Not every time you encounter God or your parents, are they just going to be like, I love you, I love you. Just that's what you're going to hear. Look for the demonstration of the love. That's the best part. Like the cross, right? Talk is cheap. You guys ever heard that? That's why when it comes to loving, we need to start doing, right? We shouldn't just say, I love God, I love my family, I love my friends, but we should show them how appreciative we are. And that's why this is next part I'm going to talk about. It's called the greatest love we can give is sacrificial. See, that was all about receiving. We've received Jesus' sacrifice. We've received these things from our parents. Now it's all about what can we give, because it's the same thing as well. I found another thing today. Let me find it for you. Okay, if you don't know, Google Answers is crazy. Like, they have every question that anyone's ever asked on there. Like, you can ask, like, what's gum made out of? And somebody has answered the question. I don't know if it's right, but everybody has answered and asked, like, every question in the world you could ever think of. Here's one of them, though. Someone asked this question. If the time came, would you sacrifice yourself for somebody else? Do you value your life above everyone else in the world? Would you die so that another could live, even if they would eventually forget you and your sacrifice and act as if you never existed? Here's what some of the comments that somebody wrote from writing down this answer. This person said this: I don't care who dies. It doesn't matter. All that matters to me is that I'm alive. Their sacrifice would mean nothing to me. Wow. That's crazy, right? How about this one? I would give my life for another person, only if that person were more capable of changing the world than I am. How about another one? This one's from Joe. If the one I was sacrificing myself on was, I would sacrifice myself for another person as long as the death wasn't painful. Okay. This guy said, no, I will not make a sacrifice to them. I will make them sacrifice for me. Wow. Thank you, Mary R. This guy says, I would sacrifice my life, but only for my family. That's some crazy, crazy stuff, right? But we just read it right here. Greater love than to lay down your life for a friend, right? Now, the greatest act that you can do, you guys, is to lay down your life for another person. We just talked about this. This is what Jesus is talking about right here. He's talking about what he's right about to do, right? But how are we to live this, okay? Because when we hear that, it makes it sound like we should just go look for people to jump in front of trains for. You know, like, get out of the way. I will save you. And the lady's like, perfectly safe. We're just like looking to like help people out or something like that, right? Because it seems wrong, right? And by the way, I want to tell you a little something about Yahoo Answers. Be very careful, because even the Christians in there don't give biblical answers a lot of the times. Someone, when they wrote this thing and said, is it a sin to lay down your life for somebody else? Some person said, or no, actually, I'm sorry, the question was this. What if you jumped on a grenade in the middle of war and saved four of your friends, but you died? One guy said this: it would be a double sin, because you killed yourself when it wasn't your time and you let four other people live who should be dead. And I was like, what? And they're like claiming that they're a Christian. But clearly the Bible says that for you to give up your life is the greatest act of love you could ever do, okay? But like I said, okay, maybe some of you in your lives, I don't know, will be called upon in a moment's decision to, yes, jump on a grenade. Yes, push somebody out of the way of a moving bus. Yes, I don't know, okay? But the point of it is that there's more to this than just offering up our lives, okay? Because we need to figure out what this actually means. Because it can look like, okay, cool, well, if I ever get in the situation to lay down my life for somebody, I'll think about it. But it's more than that. It means so much more. It's what we're talking about today. It just means sacrifice in the most basic of sense. Sacrifice means this: giving up something for the sake of someone else. So this is true love, giving up something for the sake of someone else. You see, Christ gave up his life for our sake, right? But the principle, that point of what Jesus did is transferable, okay? Meaning that whenever you sacrifice anything of value to yourself, it's sacrificial. It's loving the way we ought to. And when you guys come across stuff in the Bible, you need to know that. Because like I said, if you read that, you'd be like, okay, cool, I guess if I ever come across a situation and God calls me to do that, I guess that's a noble thing to do, right? But you need to look deeper than that. You know, like, I'll tell you something. Like, let me just give you a little quick thing. The Bible says you shouldn't get a tattoo, okay, in the Old Testament. But here's the deal. That was given to the, in the Old Testament, and it was given to the Israelites at that time, right? And in the New Testament, nothing is ever asked about it. And here's what we need to do. So you could read that and say, I guess I shouldn't get a tattoo. Okay. Well, if you're convicted by that, don't get a tattoo. But here's the deal that you need to do. You need to look into what the story was about and see what the principle was. The principle was this: at that time, the pagans, the people who didn't love God, the people who were doing all the sinful things, they were getting tattoos and getting piercings, right? And so God said, hey, listen, you're in a time right now when you can't do that. Because if you look just like the pagans, that's not cool. That's not good. Don't get a tattoo. Okay? So that was Old Testament. So now us, we can take the principle with us, though. We can say this. Okay, we can get tattoos. It's okay. But the principle that we shouldn't look like the pagan world always still exists. God still doesn't want us to look like that. And I'm not saying physically, right? I'm not saying whatever, because, you know, there's plenty of Christians and plenty of sinful pagan people who have tattoos. The point is this, you should look different from the world around you. Do you see how to apply that? And that's the same thing that we're going to do right here, is we're going to take this principle of sacrificial love and take it a step deeper and just say, anytime I give up something for somebody else, whatever that is, whether it have to be my life someday or whether it's a piece of paper at school who somebody needs it, that is still sacrificial love, right? Sacrifice means to look out for others more than yourselves, okay? It means very simply anything. You know, we just did this thing last weekend called Turn Us Loose. I don't know if you guys saw the bright, crazy yellow t-shirts on, right? The point was this. Go out there and treat people better than yourselves. Go out there and sacrifice some of your time on the Sunday. I know you could go home and sit down and take a nap. We all love that, right? Go to Dion's, get some pizza. Great news. But, or else you could give that up and go rake some leaves for some dude who needs it. That is also sacrificial love. Or maybe at your house, okay? Maybe doing the dishes is not your most fun thing. I know it isn't. I have to do it. I don't like it. But I do it sacrificially because I know it, my wife, it pleases her to have a clean kitchen, okay? If it was me, I'd be like, just throw them out. We'll buy new ones. You know what I mean? Forget it. But the point is that anytime I give up my will for somebody else's And out of love for God, I've done sacrificial love, right? And there's many ways to sacrifice your love. And that's why we're doing these love cards, you guys. That's why we're doing 60 Days of Summer, because I don't want you guys this summer to pass you by. You still have half of the summer left, okay? Now, let me ask you this question. What if every day for 1 hour you did something sacrificially, something that you don't want to do? Like, maybe that's praying and reading your Bible. Maybe you're in a state of your relationship with God right now that is not something you want to do. Or maybe it's doing the dishes. Maybe it's hanging out with your brother and sister. Maybe it's babysitting. Maybe it's whatever. But let me tell you this. What if it was 1 hour every day? Guess what that would mean? You still have 23 hours to do whatever else you want to do. Right? So many times we're like, oh, I don't want to do those things. That might take an hour. Okay, well then you can have the other 23 hours to do nothing, right? It's not that bad, right? There's a time to put your money where your mouth is. Have you guys ever heard that before? It's basically saying, hey, it's time to ante up. It's time to show what it is that you actually believe. You say you love God. You say you're a servant. You say you're his follower. Well, there's a time to just stop saying that you are and stop being that person, right? I want to ask you guys this question. How many times do you guys have, how many things in your room do you have on the floor that you don't even use anymore? Maybe boxes and boxes of stuff that is just wasted away, clothes or toys or anything, right? I bet we all have stuff that we could give away. You see, the world says, keep all this stuff, keep the stuff, you need the stuff, right? But God says, give it away, man. You don't need it, you're not using it. And so we need to be those people who are actually doing the things. You know, James 2 talks about, he says, what if somebody comes to you and is hungry and you're like, go and be filled, my friend. May the Lord be with you. Okay, that guy's like, okay, I'm still starving, right? Give me something I need, right? Yes, I do want your prayer, but I'm also starving to death over here, right? And so we need to be those people, right? We can tell everybody, hey, live for Jesus, man. Hey, God loves you, man. Right on. Do those things. Everything's all good. Oh, but when it's time to do it, it's like, do it yourself. Don't just tell people, serve them. You know, don't just be the first one to tell everybody how to live their lives. Be the first one to demonstrate how they ought to do those things, right? I want you guys to think about giving some of your time, your talents, your treasure this summer to giving away to somebody else. It doesn't have to take up your whole life, okay? What if you did 1 hour a day? It wouldn't be that bad, okay? There's something that you're really good at that somebody's not good at. Help them out with it. There's something that maybe you have that's of value to you. I dare you to give it away. I dare you to give it up, right? Or maybe there's something that's just, you just need to give some time away, right? It's so funny. I was just talking to Ruben today, and we're on Facebook, and like I read like 75 posts from everybody, and everybody just puts this, I'm so bored. I'm so bored. So bored. I'm just like, well, go do something. It's like they want to go to the mall or go to the movies or go buy something. It's like, okay, those things are good. There's nothing wrong with those things. But hey, while you're not doing anything anyways, why don't you go knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, bro, can I rake up your yard? It looks like horrible or something. I don't know. You know, I'm just saying the point is that you have time and you have people that you know, and even in your own house, dude, like, tell me your mom, her eyes wouldn't pop out of her head if she came home and you had a vacuum in your hand, right? She'd be like, I walked in the wrong house or something, you know what I mean? Like, you guys, we can do these things. It's not that bad. You know, there's a reason, there's one quick thing. I'm going to tell you how to put this in action, okay? Because maybe you're wondering, how do I put this in action? Let me tell you about what Jesus has been talking about right here. He's been talking about this. He talked about God's love, okay? And then he talked about Jesus' love for us. And then Jesus talks about our love for one another. And then he talks about how the world's going to hate us. And then he talks about how he's going to give us the Holy Spirit. And then he tells us about how to pray. So I really think that the only way for us to start being sacrificial and stop being selfish is to do what Jesus says. Because the world's not going to love what we're doing, all right? The world doesn't say sacrifice. The world says get more stuff for yourself. So I think that's why Jesus, in this next couple of verses, you guys can read it later on, he talks about the Holy Spirit and prayer. Because if we're to be these people who are so sacrificial that we're even willing to give up our own lives, should we be asked to, it's only going to come by the Holy Spirit, which is God's direction in our lives, God's help, because we ourselves can't do anything, and by prayer, right? Us being able to communicate to the Father what it is we need and the things that we're going out to, all right? So that's good. I want to encourage you guys to read the next couple chapters if you want. It's really cool, all right? Because you see, in a world that's Googling about love, right, wants to know what everything's all about, let's stop Googling and stop Facebooking about what love is and why we're so bored, and let's start getting out there and being sacrificial love, okay? This whole series is about being out there and being the people who love each other, right? You guys always want to, I know we get a lot of questions that say, what's going to happen in heaven? What will we be doing in heaven? We will be loving each other in heaven, right? God is love. God is there. We will be loving each other. We'll be next to each other, and it's going to be amazing. We're going to be loving people in heaven. So we need to start being sacrificial. You know, that story Sarah just told us, Sarah Lloyd, about that, even how bitter that person is, that she still loved him. It reminded me of a story that I heard. This is a true story. A woman's son was sentenced to death in a very gruesome crime, and she came in and pleaded with the judge that he would not give him the death sentence, or that she could take his place. And the judge said, ma'am, your son is a murderer. He hates you. He doesn't want anything to do with you. He does not love you. But she said, but I love him. You see, who cares what the world says? Maybe they don't like us. Maybe they're not going to like what we're going to do when we go out there and love people. But who cares? Because we love them. Because God loves them. I said it before and I'll say it again. You guys want to see someone change? You want to see your summer turn around? You want to stop being bored all day? Then start loving. Being out there. Okay? And if you're Christian, then guess what? Then you ought to love people. We just read it in verse 12. I command you to love one another. Jesus just didn't recommend it. He commanded it. So we ought to do it, right? And so if you love one another, I pray that you'll sacrifice something this week of whatever it is, okay? I'm not saying you have to give up everything and have one pair of shoes and one pair of shorts and one shirt. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we can be creative and we can do something, all right? And let me tell you this too. Maybe some of you guys say, I love God, okay? Well, you can sacrificially love God too, because maybe there's something that some of you in here today have not given up to God. You're still caught up in something that's sinful, something that's wrong. Well, prove your love to him, all right, and give that up. Show God that you're willing to sacrificially love him, that you're willing to give up that thing that maybe you find pleasure in, but it's wrong, right? And show your love for God. Show him how much you love him. I got 2 minutes. Anybody have any questions about sacrificial love? Can I answer for you guys? You guys good? If you guys, anything over that, I want to encourage you to make sure you get your card on the way out. I want to encourage you guys to do it, all right? It's going to be really cool. So let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the greatest demonstration you gave us, which was the cross. Lord, you just didn't write down that you loved us. You came down and told us and showed us And Father, I know that we'll never be truly able to understand what you've done until we stand in front of you someday and get to touch the hands that got nailed to the cross and the feet that got nailed to the cross, Lord. But let us understand now, Lord, and let us understand that, Father, we are your representatives here. Father, you came down once, and now your Spirit dwells here with us, so that just as you showed love 2,000 years ago, it's now up to us as the church, as the believers of Christ, to show God's love. And so may we all do that, Lord. I thank you for this night. I thank you for this series. I pray that we just have a wonderful time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.